Sven Gendonick, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, David Janes, and Predators General Manager Barry Trotz joining us live at Barrel House. Barry, good to see you. How are you?
I'm good. How about you guys?
What do you think of Willie's Star Wars tie for Star Wars
good.
Night?
I am impressed, Willie. Willie's not known for his style, but tonight you got some style.
That's right. Every now and then, the blind squirrel finds an acorn, right?
That's right. You found one.
I found one.
So, Barry, I know that Brady Martin will be back in the lineup tonight against the Anaheim Ducks, and I want to start by allowing you an opportunity to address something that I've heard a lot of Predators fans grumbling about over the past week, and that's the usage of some of your young players. Martin back in the lineup tonight, scratched through the entire four-game road trip in Canada. You were down a forward in Winnipeg on Saturday night. You chose to go with seven defensemen instead of dressing Martin in that game. And it's not just Brady Martin, to be clear.
Yeah.
Joakim Kemmel, for instance, made the opening night lineup. 1 week later, sent back to the American League. You had him on the top line to start the game in Ottawa last week. The following game, if I'm not mistaken, scratched, and Tyson Jost at least started the game on the top line in Toronto. So how would you address those concerns with fans about the usage of some of your young players?
Well, I think one thing you have to understand is Tyson Jost, we picked him off waivers. We're a team that doesn't have a lot of depth at center. He's a guy that can play all three positions. He's really tied to Brady Martin. If Brady Martin goes probably back to junior, for instance, Tyson Jost is our extra centerman. You can only have 23 guys on the roster. Guys like Kemmel, Wood, all those guys. You know, Kimmy was healthy. Woody was coming back from injury. So you have to manage your roster, and you have to manage it early. There's a new rule in the league where you send a guy down. You can't just send him down on paper and call him back the next day. They got to go down and play a game. Milwaukee's not playing a lot of games. We wanted to get people in. Brady played the first two games at home. That's, as a coach, you can control that. You get the last line change unless you have an icing call, for the most part. So really good comfort for Bruno. Going on the road, you know, this is a league, it's about winning. We're trying to win hockey games. The last thing you want to do with a young player, especially on the road, which is harder, is... You know, we could say we go into Toronto and you put Brady on the ice, they put out Austin Matthews and Nyes and Nylander, and now he's not in a position to succeed. He's actually just trying to survive. That hurts his confidence. It hurts his trust with the coach. And one of the things that we want to do is we want to give him a shot. You know, he had a good development camp, or not development camp, a good rookie tournament. He had a good camp. He had the first two games, and now we want to take him on the road, so he sees life on the road. I was glad we didn't play him in Toronto. I just think that's too much for a young guy, the media, all that stuff. We just wanted him to get a sense of what it is to be on the road, what the players go through. And I was hoping he would get in one game, and that was a decision collectively that we decided, you know what, he's fine. He spent time with me up in the box, going over stuff, talking about stuff, walking back, hanging out with players, all that, working with our skills coach, seeing film. So he's always learning, and he's in a good spot. Like, using his words, every day is a blessing to me because I didn't think I'd be around this long. There's only three players. There's Schaefer, Misa, and Brady that are still in the National Hockey League from this year's draft. He's 18 years old. We want to put him in a position where he can succeed. So probably would have liked to see him in one game, but I understand. We're trying to win hockey games. We're trying to collect points. And he's still learning. And if you think about it, we played four games in a week. So really 1 week of his life, he got to, you know, see Toronto, go through that process of being on the road in the National Hockey League, seeing how the guys prepare, seeing how they rest, seeing how they recover, all that stuff. Plus the working with our development people, myself, all that, the coaches. So it's been a good week for him. Now he's going to get a chance to go back on the ice the plan for him is we're sort of day-to-day. You know, you have nine games, and if you want to play him in nine straight games, then once you play the 10th game, then you're burning a year, and he's here for the year. A lot of teams, you're looking at San Jose, for instance. Misa didn't even play in the first three or four games. He was a second pick. Didn't play in the first three or four games. They were just trying to get him sort of used to the National Hockey League, being around it, and they finally played him in one or two games here. So every team has a different plan, and it depends on the personality. Is Brady going to be a top player? Absolutely. I believe that wholeheartedly. But we want him to have success all the way so he doesn't take a step backwards and lose confidence, all that. If we have him go back to junior in the next few days, for instance, that's a win-win for us because he made our team. He's opening day. He made our team based on a great training camp. But what happens in this league is it keeps ramping up, ramping up, ramping up, and ramping up. And it's an unforgiving league. And once you get stuck into a rut, you can't get out of it. It just is. So we're being very careful with Brady, and he's been terrific. I mean, he's a really good centerpiece player for us for a long time.
I hear what you're saying about wanting to put him in a position to succeed. You mentioned not playing him in Toronto last week, for example, going out and taking a face-off against Austin Matthews in the defensive zone, for example. But don't you need to see him in disadvantageous situations to get a feel for whether he's ready for this?
Yeah, at some point. We're just not at that point yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you have nine games, and then you want to strategically use them in the right sort of order, if you will, for your individual player. I can't tell you what San Jose's plan is or the Islanders' plan is. I can only tell you with our plan. So, you know, we felt, you know, we'll put them in a position, but we're also in the position to win. And we've got a lot of guys that spent some time in Milwaukee. We got them down. If you look at where we sit right now, we're probably going to get Nick Hague back. Our roster will go to 23. That's going to force someone out of our roster pretty soon if we get Marchessault back. So we're trying to manage the roster. The call-ups for us this year, and they're going to get great opportunities. Not even call-ups, but once our roster settles in, you've got Kemmel. You got LaRue, you got Schaefer, you got Edstrom, you got Wood. I mean, we've got a plethora of guys that are able to come up and play, and they're going to play because we didn't go out and sign a bunch of older AHL depth guys. You know, in the past we've had Mark Jankowski, people like that, who've come up and eventually been with our team, but they were the call-up guys. They were the 27, 28-year-olds. You know, we picked up Tyson Yost because he plays all three positions, and we're lean at center ice. So he's tied to Brady Martin more than he's tied to Kemmel, Wood, all those guys. So, you know, I could see, you know, once we make the decision on Brady, that, you know, with Kemi, a Wood, a LaRue, a Schaefer, those guys, they'll come up and they'll get their opportunity. If they seize their opportunity, then they'll stay.
Brady Martin, as I hear you discuss it, and I think for people that can see it, he's in almost a case by himself at 18. As you mentioned, there's only two other guys that are in the situation he's in, where if he's not here, he's got to go back to junior and play against kids his own age. So wouldn't you say Brady Martin is a lot different than that crop of guys you got in Milwaukee?
Exactly. Kemi and Woody and those guys have all, they're older. They're 20, maybe 21. So they've got the advantage of time. You know, physically, mentally, hockey-wise, they're ahead of Brady. But Brady's right there. He's here. But at the same time, we want to do what's right for him. I don't want Brady Martin playing 10, 11 minutes a night. To me, that would be a disservice. And if he's going to play 10 or 11 minutes a night, then I'd rather him play 20 minutes a night in junior and then have him here next year playing 15 a night.
Do you wish that there was a in between? Understand there's discussion about something in between where either a kid could go play college, which is now something that you could do if you didn't sign a contract, or send him to Milwaukee?
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that's going to be reviewed. The NHL and the CHL are talking about having a rule where a 19-year-old player can actually play in the American Hockey League.
Yeah.
Right now, if you draft a European player, he can. He can
right,
do that.
So why would it be? I mean, so I guess it's because you're trying to preserve the junior system in Canada, right?
Exactly, and it's been the number one feeder system for our league for, you know, the beginning of time, basically, in this league. And a guy like Brady is one of those guys that's in between. He could probably benefit from playing in the American Hockey League, but he would probably have a tough time in the American Hockey League as well, because it is a good league. It's a man's league, and you sort of get the cream always rises. It just does. And we've got a really young team there. I always say, unless you're the Crosbys, the McDavids, you're going to play right away. But the rest of the mortals on this planet are not. they're going to play some, in the college, or they're going to play in a couple years in junior, and maybe in the American Hockey League, and maybe go up and down and all that. That's what most plans are for most guys, and it all depends on where you are as a team and what positions you have open. You look what I did this summer. I tried to fix our defense. I think I have. We haven't seen Nick Hague yet. He got hurt in the first exhibition game, but I think he's going to be a real good ad. Getting Perbix with Shea, they've been a really good group. Getting a healthy Roman Josi back and Adam Willsby back. I mean, our defense can really skate, which on the back end right now, they can move pucks. They get a little different system with that we didn't play last year. We're playing differently this year. So it allows us to be in the games all the time. I feel it allows Saros to be the Saros that we know. Really right now, our forwards, we've got to get a little bit more from our forwards. Our bottom six have been really good. Done their role. We're going to need something on the power play. That's where you pay all of your big dogs, if you will. They get all the power play time. They're the guys that you pay to score the goals. They're the guys to be the difference makers. We need those guys right now. We need this on this home stretch right here, these five games, because we've got, we could be sitting here 4-2, but we're 2-2-1. We had the puck on our six a couple times on a breakaway in overtime. We score there. We'd have, those points add up. So collecting points all the time is a good thing, but we could have a couple more points. And you get a couple more points right now, you'd be more in the top of the league than you would be in the middle.
I want to get back to the identity and the formula you guys are using in a minute. I've got one more, because you experience this as a coach, and you can understand what Andrew Burnett is going through. As you mentioned, this isn't a team that's just playing to throw young guys in there and develop. Like there are teams that are doing that, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned one in San Jose. They're just throwing the kids out there and they're getting clobbered for now, and they hope that they will grow out of that. But you guys are in a different spot. So how tough is that for you as the GM, having been a coach, when you've got a guy like Kimmel who's a little bit older? You're hoping that he's ready for the breakthrough. He's older than Brady Martin, right? He's been in the system, but there's that teetering of, do I trust him yet? Can he make an impact on the game yet? But at the same time, he's got to play in order to make
be
that
successful.
Breakthrough.
Yeah, it's a balance, and you're hoping when you that Kemi's going really good. When you call him up, and he has that confidence from Milwaukee, and he comes up and he has a little bit of success early, and then they start taking off, and that's what you're hoping. Every player, I don't know, I would probably say 90% of the young guys who come up, they'll have that first initial little pop because they're excited, and they'll bring some energy, and they might get an early goal and have some success, and it might last for 3, 4, 5 games, and then just sort of nosedives a little bit, and that's time when you got to get them back to Milwaukee. The second time they come up, they may not pop as quick, but they're just more consistent, and you can see them growing a little bit. They start looking like a National Hockey Leaguer. They play different. They act different. There's a glass ceiling that they get through. The third time, if they go down again, the third time, usually they look to stick. The three times a charm for them. And I see that's probably the path of 90% of the players. Situational is all, and injuries and opportunity is all different. But we're in a really good spot. I mean, when I set the plan, wanted to go to free agency, and get some guys to sort of hold us over for 2 years, if you will, so those young guys could get some, you know, some maturity underneath them. Last year, you know, it didn't go quite the way we wanted it to, so I started, you know, changing things. I moved 11 players out last year. We went from being the second oldest team in the National Hockey League to, I think we're 14th in one year, based on what we've done. And we're going to get younger when, you know, we've actually got older by sending Kemi and Woody down. We got older a little bit, but once they come up, we're going to be younger. And within 2 years, a lot of our roster is going to be in that 23 to 27 range, right in the wheelhouse. Now, you know, we have a lot of draft choices. We've gone to the well at the draft. We collected picks. They're not all going to play. They all have different ceilings. They all have different timelines. They all have different paths to their success. So we're just hoping that we're picking the right ones and helping them along in terms of their development. Now, we have other opportunities through trades and free agency and what have you, but our core, you know, we have an older core right now of, you know, say, Saros and Yost and Stammer and Phil. They're a little bit, you know, just in that 30 or 30 above.
30-something sounds young to me.
But. Yeah, it sounds young to me, too. But at the same time, we've got a whole core of guys that are, you know, Brady Martin to you know, the 22, 23 to Avange. And there's a whack of guys in there that are going to be the new core. And so people have to understand that we're trying to build a new core to supplement the old core right now, but the old core has to supplement the new core. And we have to reestablish that as a team. And I think this year, you know, early results, but just the way we're playing and the attitude and all that, it's feels a lot different. And I think we're on the right path.
Barry Trotz is with us. Barry, I want to ask you something I've been wondering about. You mentioned needing more from the difference makers on your team. Last season, your top 6 point scorers were all in their 30s. That was tied for the most in the NHL.
Yeah.
You've left a lot of goals on the table so far this season. This team has been held to two or fewer goals 4 times. I'm thinking of the second period in Winnipeg, for example. A lot of great chances that weren't able to get into the net. And I know that Connor Hellebuck is the reigning MVP for a reason. But here's something I'm wondering. I know the shooting percentage numbers are low. All of the fancy stats about goals saved above expected, those are not in your favor. But I'm wondering, because the majority of your go-to scorers are quote-unquote older players, that this might be who they are at this point.
It might be. But I think they're I know Stammer's going to get his – he's going to get his look. He's going to get his chances. At the end of the day, you know, you can count him in for X amount of goals. You can do that with Phil. But around the league, I would say, unless you're a rebuilding team or a team that's in a build like us, I would say most of the top scorers for every team are around that 30 or 30-plus around the league. They're the best. Connor McDavid's 30, almost 30 years old. I mean, Drysdale's almost 30 years old. That's when those players are been good players from, you know, age 25 and up. And up. They've been exceptional players, but they've been the top players in the league. That's right across all the top teams. The younger teams are going to have younger scorers because you're picking higher in the draft and they're getting lots of opportunity, so they're going to put up points. Our older players take our first power play, for instance. All those guys that are a little bit older are on that first power play, and right now it's not that good. So we need them to produce. They're capable of producing. I mean, I can look at Phil Stammer. I think Marchie's had a really good year. We missed him when he got hurt. I mean, he's really helped that our team. He's helped that Bunting Hall line. I think it's been one of the probably our best line right through. So they're all capable. They still have goals in them, but right now they're a little bit dry, and we need them. At the end of the day, our scoring is going to come from our top players. If we're expecting our fourth line to score lots for us, well, we're dreaming in Technicolor here, and you know, we need them to you know, get their 30 goals, you know, from our top guys, and the other guys chip in, and I think our defense is going to be able to chip in. We've always been a team that that sort of attacks from the back end with having Roman in the fold for so many years. So it's all, the pieces are all sort of there, but we're in one hell of a division. Probably the best in all of hockey. We play a lot of games against them, and I can't tell you what the scores are going to be or how many wins or how many losses, but I can tell you that playing against those top teams night in and night out going to make us better, going to make our young guys better. I used to say when they had the young teams in the early days and Detroit had the juggernaut, the best development coach that we ever had was the Detroit Red Wings, because they were so much better than us, and they made us better in a hurry. So that's part of the process we'll have to go through. There'll be some nights we'll be over our skis, and some nights you're going to love this team because they don't give up. I mean, I can tell you on the road trip, there was no give up. I mean, in that, I didn't like our first period in Winnipeg, but you saw the second and third. We were good. We just couldn't score, and then you're chasing the game.
That's the last thing I was going to ask you, Barry, was about that identity that you're hoping for. It's clear that the formula looks like defending better. You might have to win a game 2-1 or 3-2, more nights than you're going to win 5-4 or 6-5. And if the players buy into that, if you could be opportunistic on offense, that seems to be the key. Do you feel like the team is rallying around that? Are you starting to see an identity form? And this is how they're going to win?
Yeah, I think if you talk to the coaches, you know, they look for different parts of identity, but you just talk about parts of the game. Like our 5-on-5 game last year was not very good. I thought our power play was okay. It wasn't you know, top end, but it was pretty solid. Our penalty kill was really solid, but our 5-on-5 play never gave us a chance to win. This year, I would say our 5-on-5 play has given us a chance to win every game. Where we've slipped is on the power play. Our goaltending is good. Our defense are much more mobile. They move the puck. They kill plays a little quicker. So there's pieces there. Just got to get the power play going, and our top guys, just because they spend a lot of time on that, just finding the back of net. Our mentality last year was we were going to outscore everybody, and that was the worst mentality you could have. Is you think you're going to? I remember one year, I think it was the first year we got Korea, and we started out the year. Everybody was going, "Oh man, we're going to score. We got Sullivan and Korea, and we're going to, man, the games are going to be fun. We're going to be winning like 6-5 and 7-6 and all that." Well, yeah, we scored. I think 6 the first night and lost 8 or 9-6.
I remember that.
The second game, I think we scored 6 and lost 8-6. So, you know, we gave up 17 goals in 2 games. Well, you're not going to win too much. And we scored a lot, but we weren't going to win a lot. So changing that mentality took a couple of weeks. And once we got it turned around, we were a pretty good team.
Predators general manager Barry Trotz has been our guest on D-Maze, Bingen, and Donick. He joins us every Tuesday at 5 o'clock during hockey season. Barry, great to see you. Thank you for stopping by. Good luck tonight.
All right. We'll take any luck we can get. That's part of the game.
We need the Force.
We need the Force.
Star Wars.
Need Willie's tie.
That's right. That's going to be the key.
Would you guys like to switch ties before you go?
Pardon?
Would you like to switch ties?
Not a chance.
I'm not surprised to hear that.
Barry, good to see you. 615-737-1025. Well, we will react to Barry Trotz's interview coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Willie Donick has gone upstairs at Bridgestone Arena as he prepares to call tonight's game between the Nashville Predators and Anaheim Ducks. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6 with Max Herz starting right here on 1025 The Game. First of all, let me tell Vandy fans, it's time to party.
The
Commodores are ranked in the top 10, and ESPN's Game Day, whoop, is coming to Nashville. To celebrate, 1025 The Game will be broadcasting live this Friday from noon to 6 at the new Party Foul near Vandy in Midtown at 2031 Broadway. So I guess we know where we're going to be on Friday.
Absolutely.
Plus, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to the sold-out game against Missouri this Saturday. So come on out to the all-new Party Foul in Midtown this Friday from noon to 6. I just found that out, so I'm quite excited about that.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
But we had Barry Trotz on the program, live and in living color, mm-hmm, for the first time. And there is a lot, I don't know if concern is the right word, that is the word I used, a lot of grumbling perhaps, from Predators fans. Fans love to grumble, not just Predators fans. All fans love to grumble. Some grumbling about how the Predators are using Brady Martin. Mm-hmm. He's 18 years old. He played the first two games at home. He was scratched throughout the four-game road trip last week. He's back in the lineup tonight. You have to keep in mind, as Barry Trotz laid out, that there are limited options for Brady Martin. He is ineligible for the American Hockey League. If he could be sent to the Milwaukee Admirals, he probably would already be there. But because of rules between the NHL and the Canadian Junior Leagues, he can't go to the American League this season. So if the Predators decide, Brady, we're sending you back to your junior team, that's where he has to stay until the junior season is over, which means you won't see him until the end of the NHL regular season at the very earliest. But one thing I would like to see more of from Brady Martin is I would like to see him, as I said to Barry Trotz, in more disadvantageous situations. He mentioned Toronto last weekend, or last Tuesday, I'm sorry. Last Tuesday they were in Toronto. And we know Toronto, they've got some studs at forward, starting with Austin Matthews. And Brady Martin, being an Ontario kid, going to Toronto, the center of the hockey universe, having to take a defensive zone draw against Austin Matthews, is not the best place for an 18-year-old, but that's how you learn, right? By being put in those situations where everything isn't being tailored for you. So I will be watching closely how the Predators use Brady Martin tonight. The Anaheim Ducks are an interesting team because they do have a lot of those younger players, you know, in their early to mid-20s. The Ducks haven't made the playoffs in several years. They've been building. But they also have a lot of veteran players, too. They've added a lot of veteran players over the years. For example, Chris Kreider, a great member of the New York Rangers for a long, long time. He's now with the Anaheim Ducks, for example. So I'm interested to see how the Predators deploy Brady Martin tonight, now that they're back at home, now that Andrew Burnett can dictate the matchups. I want to see how they go about doing this. Let's go to Nate in Columbia on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Nate, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. The problem with Adam's request, and we all want to see him in advantageous situations, is that he'll get not necessarily benched, but demoted the moment he's put in those inadvantageous situations because of the head coach. Plain and simple.
Thank you for the call,
Nate.
Thank
you. You want, when you're dealing with a rookie of at any sport, you have to be very careful on how you sort of bring him along or her along. It don't matter. You got to be very careful because you want things to, especially in the regular season, you want things to sort of organically happen. And in his situation, it's rare. You know, I'm not going to say it's unusual, not rare, because it does happen in hockey where a guy is young, but he can't, you know, you can't send him to one of the minor league teams. He has to play in a certain division because of his age. Well, you have that going on with Brady Martin. So your thing isn't to sort of put him in disadvantageous situations. It's to put him in situations where he's going to thrive because he's so young. You don't take a young player or your baby and just throw them out and say, I'm just going to throw you over there with all those kids for the first time and see how you handle it. No, you want to slowly sort of, you know, bring them into sort of that environment. That's the same thing with Brady Martin. Because you only got nine games.
Right.
Yeah, you hope that in those nine games that you choose to put him in, that you're putting him in situations that are beneficial for him. But if there is a situation that comes up, he can try to navigate himself around that instead of just throwing him out there to the Wolves. Say if they were playing Colorado first game of that, just throw him out there or the Panthers. Just throw him out there. That may kill the kids, you know. That may kill any confidence that the kid thought he gained through, you know, preseason and practice. I get what you're saying. Like, hey, listen, let's try the best way we can, try to put him in this bad situation, see how he reacts. You do that in preseason. It's harder to do it in a regular season because not only are you putting him in a disadvantageous situation, you're putting everybody else in one as well.
And here's the thing as well, and Barry Trotz said it during his interview. Mm-hmm. And I know some Predators fans aren't going to like this response. And I, too, am skeptical of this approach. Let me be clear. The Predators are trying to win games. If the Predators were in a position where they were more focused on the future and this season really didn't matter. Mm-hmm. We're rebuilding. We're going to throw the kids in head first, see if they sink or swim. Whether or not we win games, that's secondary to seeing if these players can hang in the NHL. If that was the way the Predators were doing things, I could see Brady Martin playing more.
Okay.
The Predators, as Barry said, are trying to win games. Mm-hmm. And there are plenty of Predators fans who do not like that approach. This is how I feel about this team. I told you on opening night, I don't think this team has much of a chance to make the playoffs. I think their path to the playoffs is as narrow as a tightrope. And I think you saw on that road trip the limitations of this team. Some of the stuff under the hood looks better. Mm-hmm. Some of the fancy stats, the process stats, some of that stuff looks better. But they're still not scoring goals. As I asked Barry Trotz, I am concerned that the older players on the team, like Steven Stamkos, for example, they're just not the same players they used to be. Their scoring touch isn't as prevalent anymore. So, yes, they're leaving a lot of goals on the table. I'm not sure they have it within them to score those goals. So it's threading a needle that is incredibly difficult to thread. And I want to see Brady Martin get a real run. And I know what Barry Trotz is saying, that the longer they leave him out of the lineup, the more time they have. Although Elliot Friedman did mention on our show last week, and I can't remember it off the top of my head, like, Brady Martin is still accruing service just being on the roster, mm-hmm. and that leads to being closer to free agency. I don't remember the rule off the top of my head. But I would just like to see Brady Martin really get some good playing time. The last time he played against Utah a couple of weeks ago, I think he had like 10 minutes of ice time. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how much that benefits him. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County. Hyundai.com. We'll take your reaction to our interview with Barry Trotz. We will also wrap up the show. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. DVD. is proudly presented by Bax Homeworks. Financing options are available to make your remodel easier than you think with Bax Homeworks. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com.
D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5. The game, Willie Donick, Adam. No, Willie Donick's not here.
Yeah, but it's still Willie Donick.
Willie Donick is here in spirit.
Yes.
Max Herz is here in the flesh. He will have your pregame coverage starting at 6 o'clock as he cracks open a Coke. And is this your pregame ritual, Max? No, you just want a Coke? Oh, thanks for the water, bud.
You just needed
That's not for me?
You just needed the caffeine or something? Okay, there we go.
You know, Max, he's a busy man. And Max will have your pregame coverage starting right here at 6 o'clock on 102.5. The game. One texter on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, says, the NHL draft is a scam. We don't have 2 years. Another Titan scenario. Bummer. Well, in the NHL, it's much different than the NFL because,
yes,
of course, there are developmental leagues in the NHL. There are not developmental leagues in the NFL, RIP, NFL Europe.
Yes.
Well, would you consider the, what is it, the
no.
UFL?
Nope.
That's not a development
because nobody,
league?
There's not enough guys coming out of that league that are segueing into the NFL. A few are, but not enough to call it a feeder yet.
What about the CFL?
Definitely not. No. Not to say that it's not good football. It is, but they're not a feeder either.
The CFL is adopting NFL rules, I heard.
Yeah, but it's going to take a minute for them to be a feeder, mm-hmm. unless the NFL wants to get into the Canada market. And I'm not sure Canadian football is going to allow that. That'd be a hard one to try to, you know, take over. So.
Well, you know, Tim Hasselbeck, friend of the show, friend of the station. He is an alum of NFL Europe.
There we go.
He has that helmet proudly.
I wish they still had NFL Europe. I wish they did. It would be it would be good for development for a lot of guys.
He played. I just want to remind myself which NFL Europe team.
Was it Barcelona?
The Berlin Thunder.
Yeah, Berlin Thunder.
The Berlin Thunder of NFL Europe. That is Tim Hasselbeck's team. Jeff on our text line says, I thought Barry was really transparent. Brady is getting his experience in 9 very sheltered games where every single thing he does is controlled. He is not ready to drive NHL play yet. He is not strong enough for the NHL grind either. I hear what you're saying, Jeff. I don't think anything you're saying is wrong. I would just like to see, perhaps selfishly, I would like to see Brady Martin in a situation where things aren't being controlled for him in the way that Jeff is describing. By the way, in 2 games, Brady Martin has averaged 11 minutes, 42 seconds of ice time. So not a ton, but we'll see what happens tonight. As I said, the Anaheim Ducks are a good mix. They're a good mix of young upstarts with a lot of promise and some well-traveled veterans, tough players. So it will be a good test for the Predators as they open a 5-game homestand. They will be here tonight, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and next Tuesday.
Man.
So a lot of home cooking for the Predators as they look to bounce back from a 1-2-1 road trip that ended 0-2-1. Nate on our text line, this might be the same Nate who called, said, holy hell, 10 minutes, that's all? That's like me going in on my first day at my new job and working for like maybe an hour, if that. That doesn't do any good. So, look, Barry Trotz knows more about hockey than I'll ever know. And I may not agree with everything that Barry Trotz says, but I can understand his viewpoint on Brady Martin. I think I want to see what happens tonight. I want to see, now that they're back at home, how the Predators use him. Joey from Bellevue says the Frankfurt Galaxy was his favorite NFL Europe team.
Oh, man.
I don't know much about NFL Europe. I can name all of the CFL teams, though, but I am not going to bore you with that.
I love watching NFL Europe back when it was going on.
Yeah.
I think it was going on right when I – when did your NFL Europe start up? Was it 90?
No clue.
It might have been early in the 90s.
I was all in on the original XFL, though.
But I know it was early on in my career. And I thought – it might have been my first or second year. I thought that I may be going one of those years, like my first or second year. But never
– It started in 1991.
Yeah, so I thought I got drafted in 97. I thought I was going to be one of those guys, like after my first year going to my second year, was going to be one of the guys that they said, hey, you need to go develop, you know, some more. But they didn't, and I guess I didn't need – I guess I was developing the way they wanted me to.
I think you turned out okay.
Yes, I turned out great. So there you go.
We will get more into Cam Ward tomorrow. By the way, Jason McCourty will join us right off the jump tomorrow – at around 3:05, he called the Titans game this past weekend. I believe he is also calling the Titans game this weekend at Indianapolis, of course, a former member of the Tennessee Titans. So we will get Jason McCourty's thoughts on the Titans.
I would love to hear what he has to say about what Booty said. And I know that'd be at the top of the question.
As a former member of a secondary?
Exactly. What did he think about what Booty said? And did he see it the same way? Because that would be interesting to come from a guy that has played on that side of the ball that has, I think he played, or did his brother? I think he played both corner and safety, or did his brother play both corner and safety? One of them switched from corner to safety later in his career after he left and went to another team. It might have been.
He's listed as either a cornerback or a defensive back. On Pro Football
Jason?
Reference. Jason, yes.
Yeah, so it may have been. Yeah, it may. Yeah. No, it was the other. It was the other McCourty.
Devin.
It was Devin that played some corner, I think, and then safety.
So we'll have Jason McCourty right off the jump tomorrow at 3:05. Jonathan Hutton will join us at 5. Of course, silly underdog picks. Don't get me started. Chris Sanders actually won a game.
Boy, it's my worst nightmare.
Worst nightmare.
If you would have saw that game, Adam, because I know that you probably didn't think that they would, that Tulane would, me, UAB would beat.
No. I thought it was
We don't have to talk about the game.
Man, we don't have to talk about this. That was a wild game.
It's my worst nightmare. Chris Sanders won a game and has passed me in the standings, so I will have to try to get back on the right track tomorrow.
But Hal was a winner, too.
Hal won as well. You and I, we lost.
Yes.
We lost.
Well, technically, Max won.
Yes. Max won, and therefore, I think that Max should get Hal's points. And well, Hal should not get any points.
There should be a minus 2 points for Hal.
I also think, and I will present this to the commissioner tomorrow, I will point out that he referred to me as Alex last week, and therefore Alex made the pick, and therefore Adam doesn't get charged.
What did I tell you? Hey, listen, Adam, if you come with a strong enough defense,
I will do that.
On your side.
I will do that.
You may be able to sway me.
Josh on our text line says, maybe the Titans should have treated Cam Ward the way the Predators are treating Brady Martin. It's two totally different situations. We had a text earlier. Mm-hmm. It may have been yesterday, actually. Is it too late to sit Cam Ward? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Unless
his injury.
Look,
but yeah, it's too
I know
late
that,
to do that
the Carolina Panthers uh-huh. recently sat Bryce Young
last year, but he was playing bad
right.
football,
but
like really
is,
bad.
Is Cam Ward not also playing
not
bad
as bad
football
as
right now?
Bryce Young was playing? Whew.
Maybe I'll look into that. For
and
tomorrow.
A lot of it was,
but he
the
also had a
him.
Real backup quarterback. It
yes,
was Andy Dalton and yeah. not Brand. It was Andy Dalton and not Brandon Allen.
Exactly.
But I don't think the Titans can sit Cam Ward at this point because that would be an admission of failure. If you sit the number one overall pick quarterback after he goes 1-6 and you put in Brandon Allen, you are more or less admitting that you made the wrong choice.
Yeah, so now you just got to ride with it.
Right, you have to save face. So, but look, I heard Chase ask this question on the Chase and Big Joe show as the question of the day because it's a question that's been out there. Is Cam Ward hurtling toward bust status? And it hasn't gone well for Cam Ward so far. And I know there are plenty of examples of young quarterbacks with a lot of promise that struggled early, who turned out okay. Now, I'm not ready to sit here and declare that Cam Ward is a bust. I'm not ready to do that. But I certainly am concerned about things that I've seen from Cam Ward, specifically his turnovers, more specifically his fumbles where he loses the ball and he isn't being touched, which has happened twice in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, but that's not going to make me think that he's going to be some type of bust. I don't know where the conversation of him being a bust, why that has even started. When you talk about bust, it's like you got to – let's look at the whole season before we start calling people bust. I got the Star Wars. They're after me. The evils. They're putting their lifesavers in front of me. I just think that he's far. Like, let's not even start that conversation, man. That's one of those conversations that, of course, it's going to get some traction, but that's not even a conversation. We are so far from that conversation, it's not even funny to say or throw out the question, is he trending toward being a bust? If the roster was a lot better and he was playing bad, then okay, we can say in about 3 or 4 weeks possibly have that conversation. But this roster's not good and everybody sees it. So if you see what I'm seeing, there's no way that question can even be approached right now. To say are we trending toward him being a bust, or is it fair to open up that question now? No, it's not. We are so far from that, it's pathetic.
I know. I hear what you're saying.
But I understand in a sense why, because we see all this stuff that's going on and we've talked about all this stuff and we're gonna continue to talk about it. What is the one thing that we haven't mentioned?
What's that?
The bus. Like, can't. That's one thing that, because we've been, it's almost like if these things were happening, like, slowly, like the deterioration of the team slowly, we wouldn't get to bus until, like, next year. But because this stuff is happening so fast, the ineptness of the roster, the head coach being fired, giving up play calling, all this stuff that has been so dysfunctional about this organization, we've had it all, and it's been set right in front of us. And now we're like, okay, we know all of this. What's the next thing? Oh, we could talk about Cam Ward being possibly a bust. No, let's get through this stuff first. This stuff is still here. Let's get through this stuff first before we start labeling him anywhere close to a bust.
But it's not completely in his control.
Yeah.
We talked at the beginning of the show about the Titans coaching search. If the Titans can't find the right coach, that will affect Cam Ward's development. If the Titans can't draft well and can't find Cam Ward weapons, and the Titans can't protect Cam Ward, then these things, which are out of his control, could lead to him becoming a bust.
Yeah, but I think we are...
Like, I don't remember, for example, let me ask you this, because you'll remember this, because it was during your career. David Carr comes up a lot. He played for an expansion team, but he was sacked so friggin' much.
Uh-huh.
And correct me if I'm wrong here, that played a significant role in where his career went.
Of course, it was the organization that he was with.
Right.
And, everything that was happening around him. And
that's what I'm saying about Cam Ward. Cam Ward can put in all the work. Cam Ward can try to improve his accuracy and his footwork and his ball control and all of those things. But if the Titans continue to be a tire fire, there's only so much he can do.
But David Carr went through, what, 3-4 seasons with the Houston Texans, I think, before they considered him a bust. So let's get past season one first before – that conversation is being had. But I do agree. Listen, they need to clean up stuff around him so he will not start trending that way.
We will pick up this conversation tomorrow. Predators pregame with Max Herz is coming up next. Predators versus Ducks puck drop at 7. Pregame in just a matter of moments right here on 102.5 The Game.
Smack that quack. I mean the duck.
All right. I think we got to get out of here.
No, hey, listen, I love you all. We love you. Have a wonderful, blessed day. I love you. The team love you. You hear that song. Don't forget about us ever. We will be back tomorrow, same time, 3 p.m. Peace.